Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon. It is Monday. Let's go ahead and wake up and get off to a great start with a short, as they all should be, but sometimes they go a little long, Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon, right here on the MLW Radio Network, partnered with our good friends over there on WrestleZone.com. What do we have today? We're going to do a Raw preview, and we're going to talk about a controversial incident that happened in England over in Rev Pro. Just a few minutes, your daily dose, your morning commute with wrestling here on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon. When wrestling gets real. We've heard that before. I personally was in attendance and saw Brad Anderson, the ex-Zan Panzer, the son of Gene Anderson, lose his temper a bit in a match and shoot on another wrestler. It is nothing that we like to see, and it's something that we see once in a while. And apparently in England, at Rev Pro Wrestling, a few days ago, there was an incident where there was a referee, his name's Aaron Wilde, and he ended the match. He gave a 1-2-3 at a point where there wasn't a 1-2-3, but apparently the guy's shoulders were down, but the wrong people lost, I guess, that were supposed to. And as Matthew told me after I told him about it, he was like, but they can just do another match. But apparently, the wrestlers in the ring kind of freaked out a little bit. One of them body slammed him, but it looked like a typical body slam where he kind of took care of him, but the ref didn't know it was coming, and the other wrestler kind of beat the referee up. And nothing was really made about it. RevPro themselves said they didn't hear anything from the referee about it, even though he had tweeted about it a bit, until some blowback happened just over the last few hours. This morning was the first time I heard about it. And then RevPro did put out a statement saying that the one who body slammed the referee, his name is Shaw, and he is not being fired, but he has a zero tolerance policy from now on for anything like that. But the fella who beat up the referee, they just fired him. They got rid of him. They said they will not tolerate that. And his recollection of events did not meet what they saw. I hope the referee is okay. He had stated on Twitter that he was going to retire as a result of injuries incurred as a result of this attack. What's interesting to me always is the reaction from wrestlers when this kind of thing happens, because certain wrestlers will tweet, anybody who shoots on somebody in the ring like that deserves to have the shit beat out of them. If I ever see anybody do that, I'll beat the crap out of them, which is literally the most wrestling thing ever, right? Because you have something that's supposed to be a work, and then when somebody makes it into a shoot and fights for real, then the people are mad that they're doing it for real and threaten to beat them up for real for not doing it not for real, which I understand, but when you look at it at the surface, it's kind of funny. And I think that's a good situation that's resolved. As long as young Aaron Wilde is okay, Rev Pro Wrestling in England, I guess they're still deserving of our support. Monday Night Raw Preview. Well, it looks like they're doing all they can to create an interesting Raw for us. We're going to take a look at what we have right now, which is honestly quite a lot. And I think it goes to show that the more you promote a Raw ahead of time, the better it's going to do. If only they could do it a week or two in advance where they could tell everybody what the matches are going to be, which would actually give people a more compelling reason to watch. But let's go ahead and look at the Raw that's coming up tonight. Cedric Alexander looks for payback against AJ Styles. Last week on Raw, the club beat up Cedric prior to his King of the Ring match and lost the match as a result. So it's a storyline related thing. They have built it up a little bit. And if there's one thing WWE is doing right lately, it's elevating these younger talents like Ali, Cedric Alexander, and of course, Buddy Murphy. We've got Rey Mysterio returning to action against Gran Metalik. I think it's apparent that Rey Mysterio is now pretty much just a feature attraction, an attraction, as Bruce Pritchard would say. They bring him out to get a good match out of him, or they bring him out for someone to beat the crap out of him so they can look better. This will be a good match. The whole Dominic thing, I'm personally not digging. I personally am not getting it. and it's a little cringy to me. I hope that gets better. They seem committed to it. The Battle of the Four Horsewomen. You've got Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch versus Sasha and Bayley, the heels. To me, one of the worst parts about Raw booking over the last year or so, year and a few months, is they keep turning women heel against the greatest heel in the history of the women's division, which is Charlotte. Like, it's fine that Bayley and Sasha turn heel, but why get Charlotte involved? She's a heel. I don't really understand. And also, there's not a lot of buildup for this particular match where you have the Four Horsewomen exploding. Hopefully, to me, this leads to a situation where we have maybe a Four Horsewomen on Four Horsewomen situation in the future. Maybe this is all leading towards that. It's certainly good and interesting to see them all kind of back on equal footing again, where at one point one looked to be a little higher than the other one, but it seems that they've all kind of raised to the same point together. So there's good and bad in everything. We've got more Raw King of the Ring matches. We're getting to the conclusion, which will conclude, I believe, at Clash of the Champions, where a new King of the Ring will be crowned. And we have a triple threat because we had a double pin last week. I didn't hate that. Made sense to me. It's going to be Ricochet versus Samoa Joe versus Baron Corbin. And he's going to face the winner of the SmackDown bracket, Elias and Chad Gable, who are going to be on the SmackDown bracket. To be honest, it's King Baron Corbin. For me, just picture who would look the best in the King's uniform, especially who could use the wardrobe change the most. And King Corbin, it's got an alliterative ring to it. It will piss people off, and it will be more of a natural elevation of him as opposed to maybe a forced elevation of him. And then we have the contract signing, the second contract signing, because the first one fell apart with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I get bringing Steve Austin in. Steve Austin on Raw is still kind of a treat because he hasn't been on that many times in the last few years, but to bring him in for a contract signing, like, what's he going to do? Is he going to keep them in line? Unless they're going to use Steve Austin in a way to kind of get one of these two guys in a higher position than they were before, it's not a great use of Steve Austin. If you're going to bring Steve Austin in, you need to bring him in for some kind of angle or bring him in for some reason to make use of that asset that he has of the Stone Cold legacy. Don't just bring him in to sit there and hit a promo on both these guys and remind us how great wrestling used to be. I'm not excited about that matchup. I'm not excited about bringing Stone Cold Steve Austin for it. I think at the very top of the cards, they're suffering a lot right now. But that's your Raw review, and we've made it a week of daily shows here on Total Engagement. Please, please subscribe. Please, please tell your friends. And please tune in tomorrow to Total Engagement with me, Matt Coop.